Everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight. Got a great program, part three of the Goathead. We're going to get into the in-depth, the scriptural research, and tell you what you must avoid, even in the last days, when the pressure will come upon the saints. Now, that's people that do not want to bow to a New World Order, as it is known today. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 4, to lay a gestalt. And we're going right into the 4th chapter, the 8th and the 10th verses we'll be reading of the 4th chapter of Matthew. The devil, the adversary, took the Messiah up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Now, this had to be a bird's-eye view. It had to be an exceedingly high mountain. And the glory of them, the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. I want you to remember that. The kingdoms of the world and its glory. There is a lot of truth to that statement. The kingdoms of this world that are now being processed and developed, and we're going to talk about this last one here, and its glory, and it's going to be the most dreadful of all the kingdoms that are set up. Now, we know, according to the Bible, there has only been 4 kingdoms set up to rule this world called Babylon. And the 4th kingdom is the diverse kingdom, and it is dreadful and terrible, and it was given, the Bible said it was given a mouth speaking great things. And so then, we are in a time of trouble, because I do believe, whether you realize it or not, that the glory of this last kingdom, of the 4 kingdoms, is probably, the most awesome, fearful kingdom that is raising up. Who would be evil? Who would maybe prepare places for dissenters, like concentration camps? You ever thought about how many there are in the United States alone? Now, I don't know much about the concentration camps abroad. We hear that in World War II, that there were plenty that the Germans had. I'm sure that the Russians had concentration camps. And we certainly know that America had them, because the Japanese and German populations that we had in America, a lot of them were rounded up and sent to these detention centers and held till after the war. And so then, the 4th kingdom. I want to talk about who has devised, organized, and brought forth the 4th kingdom, that it would be so terrible. Why would it be any different than the Babylonian, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar? It was a powerful kingdom. And yet the Bible says that the fourth kingdom is going to be very diverse or different and exceedingly dreadful. Is it because that in the three kingdoms we have the embodiment of satanic luciferic influence in man? Is it possible for the fourth kingdom to contain Satan himself? You say, well, I don't think Satan exists. He's never going to appear in person on the earth. He just possesses people. He's a spirit. Well, you know, that's not true. Satan is a manufactured, he was created. So he exists just like you at a little higher, and we know he's very crafty and subtle. So we can have some problems here dealing with Satan himself. And the Bible would indicate that Satan says, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. I wonder which kingdom that he was asking the Messiah to fall down and worship on. Have you ever wondered which kingdom it was? Now, I said, I do believe that the three kingdoms instrumentally were set up by Satan to rule over. I believe the fourth one, that he himself will come out of the heavens at the appointed time. We're going to talk about that. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. But first of all, I would like to go and give you, as we've been talking about the Godhead, I'd like to finish that part up before we get into the biblical part. And maybe we'd have to do maybe another program to get the biblical aspects so that we could confirm what we've been telling you is a major, major possibility. Now, there's people that work for him. And the people I'm going to talk about tonight have long been criticized. A lot of people fear him. A lot of people join them. It's a large organization, been around for a long time. We'd like to give you the history behind the Masonic Order. Now, I know a lot of Masons. I'm not friends with any, but I know some. I was recruited as a young man, and I refused. Since then, I've never been even asked to get close to a lodge. Well, I've never had any reason to want to, but they did pursue me when I was a young man. And when I found it was a secret order, I told the man who tried to recruit me that there was nothing done in secret wouldn't be revealed. And he immediately changed the conversation, and then he walked away after he had tried to recruit me into the Masonic Order when I was a young man, about 18. Now, Masons claim that they are anciently connected back to Adam and Eve. They claim that the fig leaves, which I told you about last night, the symbolic symbols, gain power through imagery. The Bible said that the beast who was became an image, and people worshiped the image. And I told you I long believed that it was the power of the media of tell a vision. Well, I'm going to tell you Albert Pike's vision that he had when he became the principal high command in the ancient order of free and accepted Masons and their symbolic craft, or what we would know as craft masonry. Now, if you're a Mason, please don't get offended, because I've never been inside a lodge, and I'm just stating what history has to say about the Masons. If you're a good person, please don't be offended. If you know anything above the 33rd degree level, which you must be above the 33rd degree to be initiated into what I'm going to read about. So if you're below the 33rd degree level, you probably are not going to be affected with what I've got to say, although you may take offense to me talking about your organization. But see, every organization or everything that stands up to present itself, first of all, in a secret order, He said, well, we got to have order, and we got to have a divine acceptance, and only the craft should know our procedures. Well, if it's such a beautiful thing, why not make it open? Why is the things that are taught in it anti-biblical? Most of it's symbolic in a Luciferian, if you will, concept. Now, they claim that Adam and Eve, who wore the fig leaves, now, the fig is itself a mystery. They didn't wear the olive leaves, which the biblical truth of Yahweh's children of the house of Jacob were associated with olive, a fruitful vine, an oil, represented by the Holy Spirit. Here, Adam and Eve, after they sinned and were cast down, wore a fig leaf. And the fig tree is one of the riddles of Samson, who he gave the riddle in the book of Judges. And the fig tree was one that was requested to rule over people. Is it so that the fig tree people, that very few people know anything about, that they're associated with a master race that was introduced in the days of Adam and Eve and actually came right through Eve? Without Adam being the father. This is where the mystery of the ancient order of free and accepted Masons would trace themselves back to Adam. Now, the lodge itself, the creation, was only traced back to London, England in 1717. Why wasn't there any Freemasons before 1717? If they say that their symbolic system started back with Adam and Eve. And it's believed that James Anderson set up the constitution of the accepted Masons, or the Order of Ancient Free and Accepted Masons, or the symbolic craft of Masonry. In 1717, Anderson, along with George Payne and Gulliver, came together to form the first Grand Lodge. It is said that the lodge was birthed in a tavern. Well, maybe that's a good place for it to start. Then the lodge comes to America. The first official lodge was St. John's Lodge in Boston, Massachusetts, July 30, 1733. Didn't take long to get up here. 1733. 33 is a master number for the Masons. And the first American-born lodge was founded in Savannah, Georgia, deep south, in 1734, 1 year later. During the 1800s, several thousand lodges sprang up all over the country. It pulled political strings and encouraged political leaders, just as it does today. Many famous people who are and were Masons, who were and are, including 15 presidents and 19 vice presidents. There are hundreds of Masons in high government positions today scattered throughout the government. In the 1800s, a man named William Morgan opposed the Masons and started passing out anti-Masonic tracts, telling about the secrets and the rituals that he had learned as a member in the 1800s. But in 1826, Mr. Mason, George Morgan, he disappeared and was never heard from again. Many who have spoken against the craft have also disappeared. Masons are presumed to be the originators of the New World Order, or a new high order ruled by the elite, and they serve as a recruitment tool to hide the goings-on of the leaders that are within, be them satanic or be them righteous. We don't know because it's a secret, but anybody that knows about it, there's many people that have come out of Masonry. I had a 33rd degree Mason in the state of Texas. I wouldn't mention his name for his own privacy and his own safety, but he resigned after he became a 33rd degree Mason after serving years and years and years of devotion and dedication to the craft. When he was, before he was ordained in the 33rd degree, he didn't see anything that would make him suspicious, although he had been told to watch by a certain friend that he had. It was only after he became a 33rd degree craftsman that he began to suspect that the square and the compass were not all that it was cracked up to be. Although we've had 15 presidents and a lot of the government high officials, no one but our Messiah is worthy to call Master or Lord. Masons are instructed to lie for a fellow brother in a court case. Can you blame them? There's not much justice in a court anyway, but if most of their judges are Masons, and most of them are, then they probably don't have to lie too much. In the case, if the case is murder, it is left up to the individual to decide how to act. But loyalty is expected. Many police officers, judges, mayors, lawyers are involved in this craft. How can someone who claims to be a Christian turn ahead while corruption or evil has been inflicted upon their fellow man? It's simply because, ladies and gentlemen, they have what is known as a brotherhood of the initiates. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Abraham before I get into the biblical aspects in part two of this. Very few outsiders know about the initiate plans of Albert Pike and the architects of the New World Order. In the 19th century, Albert Pike established a framework for bringing about the One World Order based on a vision revealed to him. Albert Pike wrote a blueprint. Oh my. He wrote a blueprint of events that would play themselves out in up to the present 21st century. With even more of these events yet to come, the blueprint, which we believe unseen leaders are following today knowingly, were not to engineer the planned third and final war. Now, I've talked about this. That Mr. Pike, I've studied Mr. Pike's writings quite closely. And believe it or not, I believe that the man was a genius. I really do. But marvel not. Satan and the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light. They're so far ahead of the light people, especially the sheep, that not even funny. He was born on December 29th in 1809, whereabouts, in the first place that the lodge was created in 1809. Now remember, the lodge that was instituted in 1717 in England And then the first official lodge was St. John's, Boston, Massachusetts in 1733. All right. Now, with Albert Pike being born in 1809, not many years after that the lodge was initiated into his hometown, he was the oldest of six children born to Benjamin and Sarah Andrews Pike. He studied at Harvard and later served as a brigadier general in the Confederate Army, of all things. After the Civil War, Pike was found guilty of treason and jailed, only to be pardoned by fellow Freemason, President Andrew Johnson, on April the 22nd in 1866. After he was pardoned, the very next day, he met with Albert Pike. Andrew Johnson met with Albert Pike the next day. He met him at the White House. And on June the 20th, 1867, Scottish Rite officials conferred upon Johnson the 4th to 32nd Freemasonry degrees. It's a high honor. And he later went to Boston to dedicate a Masonic temple. Now, he pardoned Albert Pike for treason, and the next day he was a guest at the White House. Pike was said to be a genius, and I really believe he was, able to read and write in 16 different languages, although there is no record anywhere to indicate that he had this marvelous gift to speak 16 different languages. He has been widely accused of plagiarism, and at various stages of his life, he was a poet, a philosopher, a frontiersman, a soldier, a humanitarian, and so on and so forth. But in the lodge, he excelled. He became a 33rd degree Mason. He was one of the founding fathers and head of the ancient accepted Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, being the Grand Commander of North America, all North America, Freemasonry from 1859. I remember in 1867, these officials conferred upon Johnson the 4th to 32nd Freemasonry degree after he pardoned Albert Pike. Being the Grand Commander of North America in 1859 and retained that position until his death in 1891. In 1869, he was a top leader in the Knights founding the Ku Klux Klan, or the KKK. Pike was said to favor and was often called a Satanist. His writers indicate that he preferred the light being of Lucifer as opposed to a risen Savior. He often indulged in occult, and he apparently possessed a bracelet which he used to summon Lucifer, with whom he had constant communication. He was the grandmaster of a Luciferian group known as the Order of the Palladium, or Sovereign Council of Wisdom, which he had founded in Paris, which had been founded in Paris, in 1737. Palladism had been brought to Greece from Egypt by Pythagoras in the 5th century. And it was this cult of Satan that was introduced to the inner circle of the Masonic lodges. And it was aligned with the Knight Templars in 1801. Isaac Long, a Jew, brought a statue of Satan to Charleston, South Carolina. That's the goat head now. Bahamut. To to Charleston, South Carolina, where he helped to establish the ancient and accepted Scottish Rite. Long apparently chose Charleston, because it was geographically located on the 33rd parallel of latitude, which runs, incidentally, straight through Baghdad and doesn't miss Jerusalem quite too far. This council is considered to be the mother supreme council of all Masonic lodges in the world. In other words, the highest order that you could have bestowed upon you. Pike was Long's successor, and he changed the name of the order of the new and reformed Paladin Rite, or Reformed Paladin. The order contained two degrees, the Adept, or Brother, and the Companion of Ulysses, or Companion of Thermopylae. Pike's right-hand man was a man by the name of Walder from Switzerland, who was a former Lutheran minister, a Masonic leader, who dabbled in the occult and spiritualism. Pike also worked closely with Galipsi Manzini of Italy from 1805 to 1872, and he himself was a 33rd degree Mason, just like Pike, who became head of the Illuminati in 1834 and who founded the Mafia in 1860 together with Mazzini, Lord Henry Palmerston of England, who was also a 33rd degree Mason, and Otto von Bismarck from Germany, who was also a 33rd degree Mason. Albert Pike intended to use this rite to create a satanic umbrella group that would tie all Masonic groups together. Mr. Pike died on April the 2nd in 1891 and was buried in Oak Hill Cemetery. Although the corpse of Pike currently lies now in the headquarters of the Council of the 33rd Degree of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry in Washington, D.C., buried with honors and revered around the world as the Masonic Order reveres him as the leader, possibly the founder of the American side, by Jim Shaw. See That Deadly Deception by Jim Shaw, a former 33rd degree Mason and past master of all Scottish Rite's bodies. Now here we have the lion's paw, and if you look on the front cover of the Time magazine, you will see a television evangelist, and he has the lion's paw clutched over his heart. This grip is the reference to the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and it has significance in several respects, both legendary and allegorical. Its message of transition and everlasting life are a critical part of the third degree. Now, as a symbol, the Jews sometimes use the lion as an emblem of the tribe of Judah, as they expected the Messiah to descend from this tribe. This reference carried over to Christianity, where the lion of the tribe of Judah refers to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah to the ancient crowd. And this symbolism was seen further in the death and the resurrection to life of a man whose legendary had a lion's club or whelp, was born dead and brought to life by the roar of its sire. As such, the reference to the lion may be applied to the Messiah, who brought life and the light of immortality to the tribes of Israel through the roar of Yahweh's word. The Freemason is introduced to the symbolism of the lion's paw during the Master Mason's degree, during the portrayal of the Hermetic legend, where the reference is to the spiritual resurrection and immortality. The symbolism of resurrection clearly is an important part of a Freemason. and quest for light. In moving from darkness to light, the Freemason recognizes his personal transformation and improvement. But the great step forward is made in the third degree. From the hand of a trusted brother, one is raised to a higher level of spiritual understanding, and with the strength so gained, may become a better man and a Freemason. Now, some of these symbols, ladies and gentlemen, are in accord to Freemasonry, which is imaged all around these temples, are these symbolic symbols and rites and degrees that brings the initiate to the light. Now, we know that the word Lucifer means a prosperous one. That's where the word Lucifer, the bright and shining one. And so then, in Revelation 13:1, remember now, the devil took the Messiah up and said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all of these kingdoms and the glory of them. The Messiah's answer, this was initiation now, attempt by Lucifer, the bright one, to submit the Holy One to bow to him. And the Messiah said unto him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship Yahweh, and him only shall you serve. Now, when we go to Revelation 13:1, which is the beast power that I'm going to talk about, it says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you know anything about the 7 heads and 10 horns, you'll know that we have what is called in the Masonic order the clutch of the lion. Once the lion clutches you, or this satanic symbol clutches you in the heart, you're given over. The Messiah withstood it. And notice, John saw this beast in the last days, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. The name of blasphemy. I want to repeat that. The name of blasphemy. Now, Satan has orchestrated and given the world a name to admire and to worship. And the Great One, Yahweh, the Mighty One, his name was removed from the entire script. Why? In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 25, 26, and 27, Yahweh explained it through Jeremiah the prophet. You have caused my people to forget my name for another name. Well, now here it is. Upon his head, the name of blasphemy. One single powerful name. Under the guise of religion and Christianity, this name has risen to prominence around the world. Jesus Christ is the best known figure around the world. There is not another historical figure that has the honor, the prestige, and the glory heaped upon this name, which came up out of the sand of the sea through a beast power. And this beast power had upon his heads, remember now, he had 7 heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon the heads, it was a single name that Satan instilled and installed upon this kingdom. And of course, we're talking about the Roman kingdom, the fourth and diverse beast, who had a deadly wound, but it was healed. And the last beast to rise is the dreadful one, the terrible one, who break in residue and destroyed all other kingdoms. And this is why that the last kingdom would be the fearful kingdom that would wear out the saints around the world who would resist this kingdom. Now the question is, what was the name on that beast? Here, ladies and gentlemen, people are fearing a mark. They don't want to take a chip. They fear a mark. They're afraid. But have they really gotten to the bottom of what that mark was? The Bible said it was a mark of a name, not a chip. A mark of a name. Do you realize that maybe the most important historical figure in the world was given to us by an elite group who formulated long before the Masonic Order? These were masterminds, geniuses, if you will, brought into the power of the beast. And they was given a name of blasphemy, and the beast, which I saw was like a leopard, that indicates speed. His feet were the feet of a bear. That means sure-footed. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. Remember, I just gave you the symbolism of the lion's paw that would roar as a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. And I want to read that again. And the dragon. Who's the dragon? Now, John saw him as a dragon, but when we go to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations, from 13, we go over four chapters, and John marvels at this marvelous, beautiful woman, which turned out from the power of a dragon, because it incorporated a dragon and the false prophet, to create a name of blasphemy of all the names in the world. And most people know this name to be Jesus Christ of Nazareth, reported to be from the tribe of Judah. Is all this true? Was that his true name? I hate to get into this because, it goes pretty good when you're preaching on the Freemasons. But when you get a name involved in the deception, then that brings it home, because many people bow a knee to a name of blasphemy. I'll repeat that. Many people bow the knee to the name of blasphemy. Now, all those who are upon the earth will wonder whose names are not in the Lamb's book. Now, what was the name of the Lamb? What was his name? Do you reckon he had a name above every name? I think so. Do you think his name was named in the blasphemy? I think so. Well, what is the most admired and yet unprovable name in the Bible? The only name that is provable in the language of the 22 light letters, which was the original light of the symbolism, the Hebrew language that was given through his power, and the name was spoken in the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, to Moses. And yet, before Moses, Abraham knew his name. Abraham called upon his name. We go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis in the 26th verse, and we know again that they begin to call upon the name, or they begin to profane the name is the better word. They begin to profane his name, and by the 10th chapter, or the 11th chapter, when we get the first indication of Babylon manufactured and brought up to a pagan god. And this god, his name in the Greek symbology is Zeus. In the Egyptian symbology, we have Eazus. And so then, masterminds, great powers, great men, geniuses, if you will, formulated the destruction of the true name to build a false name and turn it into a name of blasphemy. And he would cause all people in the earth to receive this mark. That's one thing to have a chip to be identified and tracked wherever, because that's bad enough. But when you have a spiritual chip, when you are chipped with a name of blasphemy, I want to repeat that. When you are chipped with a name of blasphemy, when you're chipped with a false name by the beast power, and what you need to fear is not a physical chip, but you should fear a false name that has this great beast using this false name, the name of blasphemy. It certainly ain't Yahweh's name. Yahweh's name is in the Bible 7,000 times, and yet today, when you pick up an English version Bible, you won't see it one time. You will see the facsimile thereof, or something. Selling concordances now. I want to show you something here. He rose up out of the sea. That's people. He had seven heads and ten horns. We know where that church lays. We know what she's associated with, and we know how much power she wields in the earth today. It's the most powerful church, Christian church in the world. And I know this is going to hurt some feelings. It has nothing to do with Masonic order. They weren't in on the deception, although right now they are a part of it. Because all of the people of the earth will wonder after the beast, or subscribe to the beast and bring about a name that will be worshipped mandatory, and you will receive the number of his name. Remember, I said the number of his name was 666. You will be astounded if you would write from my track on the name 666 and how I got into the Bible and what it really means and who it is. You'd be astounded. First of all, you're going to be offended. You're going to get mad, and you're going to fuss and fume, just like some of the Masons that I've talked about tonight, that will acknowledge that they are in anything that is of satanic character. Oh, we do good things. Well, Satan's a good. He's a god of good and evil. Don't worry about people doing good things. They just do just enough good to deceive the very elect. And the Bible said they would do this, and they're masters at it. They're ministers that are sitting in the pulpit, just like one of the evangelists that I showed you was on Time Magazine, with his clutched hand, knowing that he's a Freemason. All of your presidents and most of your world leaders are Freemasons. Now, the coming... Now, let me give you verse 8. In verse 8, all that dwell upon the earth, all that dwell upon the earth, all that dwell upon the earth, I'm going to repeat that, all shall worship Satan. Now, what are they going to worship? Nobody's going to worship Satan if they knew it was Satan. But the Bible says he will have a name of blasphemy. So So Satan is going to obtain a person or a personality or a historical figure that is mentioned in the Bible and give him a name of blasphemy. Well, in Jeremiah 23, they have forgotten my name for Baal, B-A-A-L, which is L-O-R-D. This is one of the greatest mysteries of deciphering and breaking free. All that dwell upon earth shall worship Satan. It's a name of blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. So Satan is embodied in a name that everybody worships, or at least 99% of Christians. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, when was the Lamb slain? Was he not a descendant from the Garden of Eden through Eve, the mother of all living? Did he not descend the Son of Yahweh? Was his name not Abel? And he was slain from the foundation of the world, and type and symbolism himself, the great architect of the grand design, not of the light bearers, but of the light. I am the light of the world. He's not Lucifer. Lucifer is the imitation or the light that seems right. All will worship him who dwell upon the earth, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. If you notice, the new world order in the last days will become the great tribulation for the seed of Jacob, who know their Creator, who will stand for his true name, who will be objected to, and they will be put in prison, in synagogues. They will be delivered up and examined by judges, deemed unworthy through the seven laws of the Noahide laws. Once you're in violation of that, you're basically done for. It is a political conspiracy that Satan is growing up to possess the physical kingdom. This is the kingdom he offered the Messiah, Christ, Yahweh in the flesh body. And Yahweh said, get behind me. Today, everybody wants to stand out and be noted or to be somebody. The very, very heart of this matter is the birthright of a Hebrew man that was born 2,000 years ago. Where did he come from? Is it true that he was from the line of the tribe of Judah? And the answer is no. A resounding no. Nowhere in the Bible can you read he's from the tribe of Judah. There's people that suppose he was. There is false accusations that he was. But we know where he was born. We know what city he was born in. And we know what bloodline he had in the birthright account of the biblical hidden things that resembles the hidden things of the Masonic order. Or the square and the compass. What did that have to do with laying out the circle on the earth? Who sits on the circle of the earth? Who is the master of the great design circle that I talked to you about last night, which points north? Where does all of these substitute facsimiles of the New World Order or the Royal Scottish Order of Scottish Rites, who have adopted a way that seems right, with Satan as the god of this world, sitting at the head in the pentagram, pointing down directly at the White House? Strange it's called the White House. But above it is the pentagram, or the goat's head, pointing directly down to the White House. But the main point of reference would go back to not the White House, but to 1300 Pennsylvania Avenue, or 13 blocks from Pennsylvania Avenue, we have the Scottish Rite Temple. It's pointing directly to the Scottish Rite Temple. Revelation 13 gives us a historical account of how that Satan has managed to form a seem right way, or a new world order, developed from Satan's desire to rule over the stars of heaven and to cast them to the ground and to rule over the Gentile world powers, who will give their power into the beast and the seed of the beast to formulate governments that can rule the earth. And when this one world government comes in, the beast that you saw that was and is not will manifest when the dragon is cast out of heaven at the seventh trump. He's going to come out. He's got to come. That's his escape. And we know what the Bible says: woe to the inhabitants thereof, for Satan is coming down among you, knowing he has but a short time to work. And so then we've got Satan coming quickly as the embodiment of the Savior of the world. Now guess what name he's going to come in? Guess what temple he's going to sit in? Well, he's going to sit in the Grand Lodge, okay. And where's that Grand Lodge going to be? Where do you think it's going to be that Satan is going to acquire the throne and set upon it and to be received as God, Yahweh himself, when he will be a god, but a god of this world, a deceptor god, luciferic in nature, with enough light to deceive the very elect? Dragon is going to be cast down, and he comes to earth incarnated into a physical body, since nobody's seen Satan since the garden. Yahweh talked to him. He can talk. He can walk. He can hide, and he can deceive. And he will deceive the very elect if it's possible. I hope that you're not one of them tonight. And I hope that you will write me tonight. Just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, with the zip being 37824. You can also call me tonight. I'm live here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South around the world at area code 423-626-2172. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary. 1-877-289-7439. We need your help. We need your love offerings to keep us on the air. And by Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748 for STEM Tech, and Brother Mark and Audrey down in the great state of Mississippi. We need your help. Keep us on. Keep our hands lifted up, and we'll go into, I wish I just had more time, we go into in-depth and break apart the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and show you that it's the beast power that will bring a name of blasphemy, the name that people worship. And Satan is going to sit in the temple himself, showing himself that he's God. And all that's going to be planned to rapture out are going to go over and worship him, and they're going to bow the knee to those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book. You've got to go. It's your calling. For those that won't go, you've got to go somewhere else. It's your calling. Many of you will be imprisoned. It'll be the time of Jacob's trouble, a time such as the world has never seen, and it'll only be against the people that know Yahweh. That's the only... See, the devil knows. He knows who his enemy is. So we love you tonight, and we appreciate you. We got to get on out of here, because our time is just about up here. But we do love you, and we appreciate you, and Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh keep you from the hour to come. I'll see you Friday night around the world at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Central, Brother Bob, I have this message up for you. Very shortly, probably within tomorrow, if you'd like to have the entire series, Rap Master Buddy, and we'll give it to you. Love you.